This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Aloud with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. All throughout the program today, we are going to be talking about basic training and some sort of dog sports and stuff you
That's
can do
right.
with your pet, with your pooch, maybe even your cat as well.
Surprisingly, with your cat. Kev, I know training is really close to your heart. You've spent a lot of time training Cinder and Luna beforehand. So how did you get started?
I had always had an interest in training ever since I was going with my friend to her agility trials and to think when I was in university. So when I got Luna and also then when I got Cinder, the first thing that I did was puppy school. Cinder actually was the day that I picked her up. She went straight into puppy school.
And that's a really important point. You know, there's lots of schools to choose, isn't there?
Yeah. And so puppy school is important because it's good for socialization. It's good for starting at that basics, starting from the very beginning and starting to teach them those basic things like sit, stay, drop, that kind of stuff as well. Especially when they're so young, so between eight weeks old and sort of the 12 weeks old is when that really socialization period is.
Key, isn't it? Those weeks are really key.
Yeah, and it's key to capture them when they're that young to start putting in those basics as well into training.
Yeah.
Straight from puppy school, once she got a bit older, we went into sort of basic manners, and then we started exploring other options. Mm. That's when we got into dog dancing. So she started training at dog dancing when she was... when she was 4 months old. And I actually started doing traditional obedience only like a few weeks ago now. So I sort of did it the reverse way around. Some people will start off in obedience and then move into other sports, whereas I started in another sport and moved into obedience.
Because sometimes having that basic obedience under your belt is really good for, you know, a good foundation for going on to doing something more complex or
advanced
training.
It was recommended to me
you've done it the other way.
Yeah, it was recommended to me by one of the people that I do a lot of dog dancing with, Jeanette, who we'll actually hear from later. Is that Cinder is great and she's really good, but there's sort of some technical stuff which she would get a lot better at if we started doing that traditional obedience where, you know, a lot of work is on the left-hand side by my side. A lot of the precision type work and everything like that.
Learning to watch you a lot.
And I think I've started to notice that as well. You know, I did some training with her last night, which she was really excited about, but she was getting to the point where she was starting to sit by my left-hand side, looking up at me, waiting, going, you know, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's go. So it is getting... Yeah, it is really helping develop that bond and really enhance that bond that we have and enhance our training.
I think that's a really good point too, that bond that you develop when you're doing training is really special. Like, and it's really motivating and it, you know, it's dead cool to have a dog there that does what it's told and you know, you're working together. I mean, I really enjoyed that when I was doing it with my dog, Harry, in the past.
Exactly.
Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. The Pets Aloud News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
It is time to have a look at the news and events of last week. Now, we don't always just feature everything that's happening at the Lost Dogs Home. But we also have
interesting
animal welfare stuff or just animal studies that are coming out as well.
Just quirky little stories sometimes.
Now, there's a story that's come out of Japan about that... Your yawning could potentially be spreading to your dog as well.
That's right. Apparently, dogs can watch their owners yawn.
And yawn out of empathy.
And yawn out of empathy for that. So I'm sure everyone at home is now or out there yawning, is yawning.
We've mentioned the word. we often look at yawning being contagious, and it does. A new study has shown that the irresistible impulse to yawn can even spread between humans and their dogs.
That's right. But yawning sometimes for dogs means that they can be a little bit stressed or anxious. And Kev, you've said that in training, you've seen dogs sometimes, they think that dogs yawning are sort of saying to their stressed owners as they're going through a competition.
Absolutely. Like in an obedience ring or something like that, the dog is sort of saying, calm down.
I'm okay.
Why aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, we can do this together.
That's
we're fine.
Right. Yeah, you know? Yawn, yawn, yawn.
And it's actually something that some behavioural trainers will use as well as sort of a signal to the dog that everything's okay, I'm not a threat. Mm. Oh, you know, it's a yawn, we're okay. And the study actually showed as well that they were more likely to respond to a genuine yawn than a fake yawn.
And a fake, they can tell the difference. They're so clever dogs. But they said with this one, like the study, that it really was a genuine response to their owners yawning, that most of the time they had their they were testing their heartbeat as well, and they were staying in a relaxed state. So there was nothing, they weren't doing that dog anxious yawn. It was really about, empathy with their
that
owner.
That dog is yawning.
Yeah.
It also shows that there has been studies that chimpanzees, bonobo, monkeys and baboons also yawn contagiously. Mm. And one other pet that you might not think, a budgie.
I can't believe a budgie yawns. I'll have to go and try that next time I visit, visit a budgie. But yeah, maybe something we can all try at home tonight with our dogs. We'll go.
And speaking of yawning and maybe other things around your mouth, it is Dental Health Month for your pets.
Exactly. So it's a really important part of being a responsible owner is to maintain your dog and cats. Your pets in general. So when they do yawn, they have good breath and a lovely teeth. And Peanut has just gone through, my little chihuahua Peanut has just been in for a dental, so he's looking really good. So this week at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, we are celebrating Dental
Month
week.
Of August is Dental Month.
So you can come into the Frank Samways and book in for a dental health check. It's a free dental health check, and the examination includes an inspection of your pet's teeth and gums for signs of plaque or gum disease, advice and a quote if necessary. And clients can look forward to a $10 discount with every bag of advanced dental food.
And you can find more information about that on our website, which is dogshome.com, or visit us on Facebook to search for The Lost Dog's Home. Now, as always, each week we do like to feature a dog or cat in our very special...
This week's Pet of the Week.
Pet of the Week. Now, Kate... we've got someone that we're going to introduce. She has a lovely name.
Well, she's been very well named, I must say. Her name is Katie. I've never been a Katie. I've always been a
Katie. You've always been a Katie?
Yes, I have. But Katie's, it's a good name. And she is a beautiful cat. She's mainly white with tortoiseshell markings on her. She is 1 year old and probably about 2 months old.
One year and two months, approximately.
And apparently, Kev, you've met Katie.
I have met her.
She's the sort of cat that you walk into the adoption centre and she's like, yay, there's people
here. Can you play with me? Give me some attention.
Yeah, pick me, look at me. So she'll flip around.
She's a real charmer.
They sometimes flip on their back and squirm around saying, aren't I gorgeous? So she loves that interaction with people. She loves cuddles. She's just a lovely cat. She's beautiful. She's got a bit of a pink nose. She's got no pigment on her nose, which means that she'll be better suited for living indoors all the time because they are subject to sun damage, that pink skin. So if you're interested in adopting a cat and having her indoors, Katie may be the cat for you. You can find her at our North Melbourne shelter at 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Her ID number is 946405. You can view her on our website as well at dogshome.com.
And she will be up on our Facebook as well. Right now, it is time for Don't Stop Till You Get Enough from Michael Jackson. And then we'll delve into our discussion all about obedience training. This is Pets Allowed with The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. You're here with Kevin and Kate from The Lost Dogs Home with Pets Allowed. And today we're talking about training pets. Now, training your pet can range from the basic obedience that all dogs should be taught from puppy stage, but even once they're a bit older, if they've maybe missed out on that training as well, to the other sports such as agility for those wanting to get out a bit, get more under training, as well as newer dog sports like dog dancing,
like you, Kev.
That's right. But Kate, going back to that agility, that's something not agility, obedience. Those basic obedience and things like that. That's something that you've been interested in.
That's what I pretty much did, and I think a lot's changed over the last few years since I really started out, because my dog that I took through obedience has passed away at 14, so a lot's changed in that time. But I had a dog before Harry, my Labrador, that was really difficult to handle, and unfortunately he had to be put to sleep in the end because of an injury. I said to myself, the next dog I get, I'm going to spend a lot of time training, and I'm going to make sure I really do the right thing by the dog and myself. So Harry, when I got him as a puppy, he was in training right from the word go, and I went to my local obedience club, which lucky for me was just sort of down the road in a park. Excellent. It was very convenient, and they were a really great bunch of people, and as well as having that reward of training my dog and having that fantastic bond, as you talked about, Kev, that really develops when you're working together and learning together, and it's so rewarding. I got to know a great bunch of people, and then I went into basic obedience, and the first level of basic obedience is, if you want to go into competition, is called your CD, or which is a companion dog. And if you want to take it up to the open, then it's Companion Dog X or Companion Dog Excellent or CDX. So, you know, after I think I committed to training with Harry for quite a number of years, and we got our first title, Excellent. Companion Dog. Very proud moment. And then, and we also got one pass in the open as well. So, and look, I can just say at the end of his life, it was, you know, or even just later on and towards the end of life, he was a push button dog. I could trust him all the time.
And that's the thing, you know, all dogs with a big, small or medium, because Harry was a Labrador,
he was
a bit of a big dog, should be taught those sort of basic obedience skills, not just to help you out when they're a puppy, but to, you know, when you take them out or
that's
when
right.
you're looking at things.
Yeah, he was a joy to have around and a joy to take out. So all that hard work was really worth it.
Now, basic obedience is meaning that you teach your dog who's in charge, you know? Who's the pack leader?
Yeah.
You should listen to what I'm saying or what I'm doing. And it should always be done using some sort of positive reinforcement methods. So if they do the right thing, you give them a treat or a pat or something like that. And if they're doing something bad, just, you know, try and get their focus onto something a bit nicer, something that you want them to do instead.
That's right, because generally dogs actually will try and behave in a way to get a positive reinforcement. That's what they're always trying to aim for, not necessarily just avoid a negative reinforcement. But for pups, you know, they have short attention spans. It's like children. You sort of kind of actually training in general and positive reinforcement is very much like bringing up children with puppies. So, you know, short, frequent sessions with them are really, really good. You don't want to wear them out. Just, you know, we want them to learn that lesson and retain it. And also it's really important to be patient. I mean, it does take time, and every dog is different as well in how they learn or what time it takes to learn, and, you know, being consistent and committing to being consistent as well.
So they are looking to please you. So what you want to teach them to is how to earn your respect. If you want to know more about training your pet, have a look at planetcanine.com.au for tips on how to train your dog. It is run out of the Lost Dogs Home North Melbourne shelter as well. So
they do a brilliant job.
It is a great training school. Now, this doesn't just apply to dogs, though. It can apply to cats as well. Cat training, you know.
I know, it's hard to believe,
people sort of
isn't
think,
it?
Can I train my cat? Like, do I? But there's simple things like training them to come when you call them. So if your cat is an indoor or outdoor cat, you know, you might want to bring them in at night because you kind of have to.
That's
with
right.
a lot of councils with cat curfews and everything like that.
And it's probably just the right thing to do for your cat as well. I mean, less likely to get hit by a car or get into fights and things. So if they're safely locked up at night. And by regularly feeding them at the same time, that really helps to train them to come in at a certain time.
Because they know, I'm going to come in, I'm going to get fed. And cats are very motivated by food.
They certainly are.
And cats are pretty good at training themselves in terms of going to the bathroom in the right place, kitty litter, that kind of stuff. But just showing them where that is, making sure then they know it, it'll really help. You might have to reinforce it when they get into their senior years as well, just to make sure that they're aware of what's going on.
But generally, once they know it, they know it. That's a great thing about cats. And of course, there's, you know, training exercises you might like to do if your cat's so inclined later on.
Yeah, you know, there are some cats that are into tricks. There are some cats that do agility.
There's some cats that chase balls
there
as well and bring them back to you. Yeah,
but we will be talking about that a bit later. Coming up, we're going to be chatting about how training your pet actually will enhance both your life and theirs. Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is Kevin and Kate in the studio. And all throughout the program today, we're talking about training your pets, not just for basic manners and behaviour, but there's also a lot of other benefits as well. And we're going to go through some of those.
Well, training's really good for socialisation, especially for young puppies. And that's a really important thing that you should be doing when you take on a puppy. You need to introduce them to different sort of situations. Just gently. You don't need to force them into anything they feel uncomfortable. But socialisation is about making them feel comfortable and confident in a variety of different situations with a variety of different people and dogs. And training helps you do that because you're meeting different dogs and different people all the time.
And when you do get to socialise them with other dogs, your puppy is going to learn to get some good manners. So they might be playing a bit rough when they're a puppy, but that's not something you want when they get bigger. You know, when they're 15, 20 kilos, that'll be so much fun. It teaches them good manners. So, again, when you're feeding them from the table, you might not necessarily want that because once they get a lot bigger and they can put their head under your arm, they're going to be begging for the scraps all the time. So it's about reinforcing those behaviours and teaching them good manners for what you want when they do grow up.
That's right. Yeah, what's cute now is definitely not always cute later on. So you need to think that way.
That's right.
And also I think good training helps make them better travel companions, and it puts them in a position where they are welcome to travel with you because if you can rely on them to be well-behaved, you've got control. I mean, control's really important when they're in an unusual environment. They're more likely or you're more likely to take them with you, and that's better for the dog. That's where they want to be. They want to be with you. So
that's
right, and
they're comfortable in the car. They're comfortable when you're out at a restaurant, or they're comfortable when you're at a cafe or down the beach. And it's and you're comfortable because you are knowing, you know, you're not going to have to be worrying about
them
constantly and wondering what they're going to do.
Yeah.
So recall is another really important thing to teach, especially when you're down at the park, or maybe, you know, they've run out on the street because they've managed to sort of get out of your fence or something like that. Just getting them to come back to you or when it's time to go home. Teaching a good recall is about, you know, making sure that they, even if they're sitting there with three other dogs and they're all sniffing, that they're going to actually come back to you when you call. And that's about using high value rewards for that as well. Proofing it at home, starting at home with the recalls, and then taking it out to other places and trying it out.
Yeah, you can really just start small in your lounge room, can't you, with the recall. And dogs crave and work well under a good structure. So by training, you're doing the right thing. If they can expect certain commands to mean certain things, and that you're going and to predict your behavior a little bit as well, that's really important. And just routine in general is really good. So you feed them at the same time, you might walk them at the same time, going to bed, and you know, they feel safe if there's a routine, and that's probably how they would behave to some extent as a pack.
Absolutely. And you know, like, so for personal example, Cinder understands when I come home that it's time to go for a walk, but she also knows that she has to sit patiently before the lead will get put on. She has to wait for that before the gate will open and you know, let her out and that kind of stuff as well.
I need to do that with my dog, right? Yeah. Sitting well before the lead gets on is
really training really enhances your bond with them as well. You know, we do talk about this a lot, but it brings you closer. You're a team, you're working as a team, and they look to you for that attention, for that love, for
direction.
You read each other, you start to pick up on their signals, you can sort of see whether they're left or right pawed as well. There's something interesting, like Cinder usually will put her right paw up a lot better than she does her left, so she's a left pawed, right pawed dog.
That's just all round rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, and it's not just about training when you're a puppy either.
Absolutely. There, you can indeed teach an old dog new tricks, or a mature dog new tricks, and that, I think that's what we really want to get that message out. If people are considering or adoption, a lot of people come to the home and go, well, have you got any puppies? But there are it's just amazing number of adult dogs that would make fantastic pets, and they do adjust into a new home, and if you put the time into them training them, they will become, they can pick up on your new routine, and you can train them. We actually spend a lot of time sometimes retraining them as well before they actually go up for adoption. So we have a behavior modification program where they go into, some of them haven't learned any manners, so we will teach them some basic manners there before they actually go up for adoption. So we really want to get that message out that yes, you can, it's never too late to start if you've got your dog.
That's right. But also, or if you've just adopted one, you know, that kind of thing as well. And yes, you can teach an old dog new tricks. And you might want to sort of look at sort of teaching them with hand signals as well, so that when they do get a bit older, if they start to lose their hearing, then, you know, you can really help them out with hand signals. And it just reinforces, as Kate was saying before, about having a dog that once they get senior, they're a push button dog. You know, they know that's everything. Right. They're pretty good at that. And it's,
they're a joy.
Yeah, they're a joy to own. Coming up, we're going to be hearing from Jeanette, who we have spoken to before. She adopted a lovely dog named Scarlett from the home and is excelling in sort of some dog sports and everything like that. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy at 94.9. Now, we have just had a message in from Lisa in Thornbury. She said, hi, Joysters, have a problem. Our blind dog whines in the car all the time. They've tried almost everything they can think of, but it's driving them nuts. They know it's a mix of anxiousness, excitement. They just don't know how to fix it. Now, first off, we're just going to say we have a couple of different ideas, but neither of us are qualified vets or behaviorists. I do have a keen interest in dog training, but I think it would be best to sort of seek help from a vet or from
a trainer, behaviorist,
With the positive reinforcement, just start stationary. Start with the car stationary. Put her in the car. She's probably a bit unsure about the situation where she is, and just be rewarding her for when she's quiet. So making sure she's only getting those rewards when she settles down and actually is quiet.
And you might actually need to teach that word quiet. I know that sort of helps sort of train the behavior if they don't know what quiet means. Like, with my dogs, I use the word quiet, and they know that that means to stop making a noise.
And settle down.
To settle
and
down.
Just be quiet.
But, you know, so that's kind of taking a step back before you even get in the car. So sometimes, you know, think about it like that as well.
Yeah, and even if it is sort of anxiousness, take something in with her, because she's obviously she's blind. She's just a bit unsure. Take something with her for me, smell, so a blanket or a toy or something like that with her, just to try and get her to sort of distract from that. Yeah. So she feels safe. She feels comfortable. And don't try and stay away from sort of negative reinforcement, like the water spray or something like that, because it'll just sort of create this thing where she thinks she's just going to get anxious every time she gets in the car. Hopefully that helps. So yeah, definitely get in touch with a trainer or a vet as well. And you can contact our vets on 03 9329 2755, or find out more information at dogshome.com. Now, we love hearing from our former residents at the home and the wonderful things that they are doing with their new owners. A little while ago, we heard from Jeanette on Pets Aloud, who adopted a gorgeous little girl named Scarlett, who is excelling in all sorts of dog sports. Now, I caught up with Jeanette again this week to hear about some of Scarlett's more recent successes.
Thanks, Jeanette, for joining us once again on Pets Aloud. Now, last time we spoke, we chatted about dances with dogs, and Scarlett and Bingo have had some great new successes in the sport. Can you tell us about those?
Hi, Kevin. Yes, since the last time we spoke, we've had a couple of trials, and I'm really pleased to say that Bingo got his Heel Work to Music Novice title.
Excellent.
And Scarlett got her Dances with Dogs Freestyle Novice title, so I'm really proud of them.
And didn't Scarlett get something else, her another title in Dances with Dogs as well?
She did. You've got a good memory. She got her Heel Work Starters title, so she's done really well this year. She's getting lots and lots of letters after her name on her registration certificate.
That's wonderful for a dog from a shelter as well to be able to get all of those things. Now, have you started working on their next routine?
You start working the moment that you finish the other one. You listen to all the things on the radio and you think, oh, is that going to suit one dog or is it going to suit the other one? And you've got to like the music because you are going to hear it a lot. I've started on both of them, but it'll take me a little while because they're getting to high levels now, so it's going to take quite a while to get the routines just right.
Now, take us through, where do you begin with that? Where do you start by putting something together for Dances with Dogs? What's the first thing you need to do?
Well, I think the important thing is to understand how your own dog. I wouldn't have the same sort of routine and the same sort of music for Bingo as I do for Scarlett. So they're quite different dogs. One's much larger and much more agile, I guess. And I think about what sort of moves are natural to them and what I can teach them that are new. And then I choose the music. Yeah. And then I think about maybe a costume. And we put all those things together with the help of our teacher, Sue, who is really, really helpful from Melbourne Canine Freestyle. And away we go.
Excellent. Now, another sport that both Scarlett and Bingo are excelling in is called Rally-O. Can you take us through what actually Rally-O is? It's something we haven't really introduced yet.
It's a fairly new sport in Australia. I think it started in Canada. The O stands for obedience. So it's rally obedience. And it's a bit of a cross between obedience and agility. And it's a way of introducing pet dog owners or people who haven't done any competition to the competition ring. It's different to obedience in that you can chat to your dog in the ring, you can encourage your dog in the ring, and at least at the lower levels, if your dog doesn't do what you ask, you can actually tell them more than once.
Excellent.
So it's a great way of introducing people, and it's lots and lots of fun.
And how did you get involved with Rally-O?
One of the dog clubs that I belong to is Werribee Obedience Dog Club, and they introduced it to try and do exactly what I said, which is to introduce pet dog owners to the idea of a competition sport that is not too scary, and you can go in, as I said, and enjoy it, whereas obedience is quite high level and much more strict and much more difficult.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, have there been any other milestones recently, a few different things from either Bingo or Scarlett?
Well, yeah, a couple from both dogs. Miss Scarlett turned 2 last week.
Wonderful. Happy birthday.
And she also got her companion dog title, CD, which is an obedience title. So we do the strict obedience work, and Bingo already has that title. So she did really well and got that very quickly. For a 2-year-old to have that is really, really good.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm really proud. And Bingo's really been doing well in the pet therapy area as well. He's a certified pet therapy dog. So we've been introduced to some new places in Melbourne. Nursing homes is our preference. They're both absolutely flying this year, Kevin.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. It's always great to hear from our previous shelter dogs and to hear how much success they're having.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Miss Scarlett. She is just so clever and so loving. She's a great dog.
Thank you so much, Jeanette, for joining us on Pets Aloud.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Kevin.
So So that was Janet talking about Scarlett, who is truly a testament to the smart, talented dogs that you can find at the Lost Dogs Home and in shelters in general. Yeah. We'll be talking more about dog sports and agility next, but to find out more about dances with dogs, look online for Melbourne Canine Freestyle at melbournecaninefreestyle.com.au, or if Rallyo is more your thing, you can contact Werribee Obedience Dog Club at werribeeobediencedogs.org or your local obedience club to see if they have training sessions for that sport. All throughout the show, we've been chatting about the different types of training. Now, some of us, like myself, perhaps like to stick to more of the basics, but others, like Kevin and Jeanette, like really to have a challenge. And, you know, training becomes a hobby and an interest. Now, Kevin, you've been doing dog dancing for a while. That's really growing in popularity. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So most people think when you say dog dancing, they think, oh, you know, I'm going to do the mambo or the cha-cha or something like that with my pet. But it's actually teaching them tricks, so teaching them things like leg weaves or jumping through your arms or things like that, and putting that to music, so choreographing a bit of a routine, putting it to music. You know, currently we're doing a Gangnam Style routine. I've seen routines to The Lion King, Saturday Night Fever. There's all sorts of different things that you can do, and it's really about having fun with your dog. There's two types of dance with dogs. There's freestyle, and then there's also heel work to music. So freestyle is a bit more free. You can do a lot more of the jumping moves and stuff. In heel work, they have to remain in those heel positions, which is kind of very similar to obedience, but you still have some freedom as well to work on those sort of things as well. It is fairly new, you know, and I definitely encourage more people to check it out. There's not enough guys in there, so if anyone's interested, please, we need some more males doing
it. You need some male support out there.
There's only two of us in Victoria at the moment, so.
And I've seen you and Cinder and perform, and you're really very good. Like it's a brilliant
lot of,
to watch.
It is
and
a
I can
lot
see
of fun.
The hard work that goes into doing what you do, but also, yeah, as you said, the fun. And look, there's more and more things coming up that you can do with your dog. Jeanette mentioned Rallyo. That's new to me. I'm not really familiar with how that works. So, but sounds like a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, so Rally is kind of similar to sort of obedience type stuff. But what it is you walk into the ring and there's signs up all over the place. And these signs give you a bit of a direction. So they might say, sit your dog for 3 seconds. Or it might say, you know, walk forward for 5 steps. Or, you know, walk around or something like that, or do a circle. So it's about that, and it is really positive training method. It is something where you can really get, you really encourage your dog, that kind of stuff. It's actually, you know, sort of encouraged to be giving them good things to say, you know, oh yeah, that's really good, yeah, well done, you know, that kind of stuff, and getting really excited.
Because in traditional obedience, like when I was doing, you couldn't use encouragement.
You
sort of
serious,
you had to, you did all your work outside the ring, all that training, and then when you walked through that ring, it was no words, just limited signals, and you just hoped it all came together. So it would be great to be able to encourage them as you went along. Now, we've been talking about
dogs,
dogs,
but you know,
but
there
what
are
about
some
the cats?
There are some other things. There are cat agility. Yeah, they do cat agility.
It is quite surprising that there is cat agility, because I can just imagine cats just sitting going, nope, I'm not going to do that.
It's more like, you know, sort of when you do agility with a dog, you're not allowed to sort of have their treats or anything with them. But with cats, you definitely have the toys to encourage them along.
They have lures and things like that. And you can find more about cat agility if you Google it, or
yeah,
look up it on YouTube.
Have a look online, just search for cat agility. It is rather interesting to watch as well, and really cool. There are some cats that are more inclined to do that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also rabbits that do jumps and rats and
hermit crabs.
Yeah. There's a lot of everything. We did get a couple messages in from Jordan, who says his mummy teaches him basic training on how to be patient when we go for walks and jumping over branches. And Lisa wrote back to say she has tried quite a lot of things. It might be time to get a behavioural trainer in to sort of troubleshoot it a bit more. And her blind dog is actually whinging when they're driving.
Yeah.
So it might be about sort of something with the anxiety around that. So yeah, Lisa, definitely get someone to check that out for you.
It's good that Lisa's trying to solve the problem too. She really wants her dog to be settled
and happy. Absolutely. Trying quite a lot of things. This is Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. It is fair to say that dogs use their noses like we use our eyes. You're on Pets Allowed with the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.8. All today we are talking about sort of dog training and stuff like that. Now, the human brain is dominated by a large visual cortex, so we're very visual, but the dog brain is actually dominated by their sense of smell. There's a big olfactory cortex in there.
It is indeed. And while simply walking your dog is a great way to keep their smelling senses active and also their mind, there's a growing growing
canine sniffer sports is what Kate's trying to say.
Happenings, and dogs absolutely love it. New to Australia, canine nose work is a fun search and alert sport that helps stimulate and exercise dogs of all shapes, sizes and breeds. Marion from Canine Nose Time is currently running introductory workshops nationally and will be in Melbourne on August the 17th.
I was caught up with her to learn more about the new dog sport that is developing quite a following in Australia.
Nose work is a sport and or activity that I originally heard about before August last year. I was traveling through America investigating different dog sports, and I managed to arrange to see a demonstration by Canine Nose Work. And after seeing one demonstration, I was hooked. It's just the most wonderful new sport and activity for dogs.
Can you tell us what it exactly involves?
It's very easy. It's very straightforward. It involves bringing out or unleashing your dog's natural scenting abilities. We all know that dogs like to sniff, and quite often us humans are telling them not to. But this sport actually encourages them and lets them use their noses, and they love it.
So what happens in a typical class?
In a typical class, when we're like introducing the dogs, the most important thing is the dogs are only allowed to search one at a time. So we would allow the dog that's about to search, he would come in, and the handler could have them on lead or off lead, depending on what your instructor is and what the circumstances are. Mm-hmm. And we encourage the dog to have a sniff, and he finds a reward of food. And that makes the dog go, oh, boy, this is great. I think I'll sniff some more and see if I can find some more. So they get encouraged to use their natural innate abilities in the dogs.
Are there particular breeds that are more suitable for this activity, or can all dog breeds get involved?
Actually, all dog breeds can get involved. I used to joke that the pet dogs aren't anywhere near as, you know, full drive as the professional detection dogs. And then I had a Shih Tzu come to my class, and he's just an excellent little searcher. He's just opened my eyes that all breeds can be good at this. I mean, we've got lots of high drive dogs, but I've also got a lot of shy, timid dogs that have absolutely bloomed because of doing nose work. It builds their confidence.
Just on that point, how do dogs benefit generally from doing this sport?
It's actually excellent for mental stimulation. Mm-hmm. We actually limit the amount of searching our dogs do because it tires them out. It can be more exhilarating than a big walk. We still encourage people to walk their dogs, but let's say it's pouring rain or something. You can just get out the stuff and do nose work, and your dog will just, they'll be so calm afterwards. It's almost like that they have gone for a great big long walk.
I'm Tamsin Lewis, Olympic runner. You're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed with Lost Dogs Home. Kevin and Kate here. We have 3 minutes to go. We have received a message in that says, I have two boy dogs, Charlie and Gus. They're Beagle Spaniel Crosses, 7 months old. Very cute. They walk 3 times a week with a dog walker. They also get to walk other times. But he would want us to know, he wants to let them off lead maybe, but he's not too sure about it. Now, we'd sort of recommend, look, if you're not sure, don't worry about it. You know, if you're going to be worried that they're not going to come back to you or anything like that, then don't err on the side of caution. I have a beagle. Yeah. Definitely don't recommend letting beagles off lead because they generally will follow a scent and not come back to you.
It's not worth the risk. And I've got three dogs and I don't let them off the lead when I walk them either. So just because I just don't feel confident they'll come back either.
Yeah. And so, it's just about proofing that thing as well. So if you really do want to, be taking some high value rewards, taking them somewhere that's really secure, really fenced in, and just training that recall as well.
And start in your lounge room too.
Exactly. Or in your backyard, that kind of stuff. And just making sure that they're knowing that coming back to you every single time. Don't forget, it is Dental Health Month, so we are having free dental health checks at the Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic, 1 Boundary Road, North Melbourne. Bookings are essential. You can call 932 92755.
And we heard from Marilyn later
Marion.
So if you're interested in going along, head along to the working clinic with your dog on August 17th at the Friends of Manningham Dog and Cats in Donvale. Booking is essential, and it can be done by calling Melissa on 0415 09771. Or to learn more about Canine Nose Time, check out caninenosetime.com.
And you have been listening to Pets Allowed. Don't forget, we do podcast the show. You can go to joy.org.au/petsallowed. We just got one quick message in who said both the cats come running in from the garden when she does her special squeaky whistle. Guinea pigs come running back to the hutches for the night when I do their guinea pig whistle call. Karen, thank you SMSing in, and that is the show today. So don't forget to walk your dogs,
pat your cats, train your dogs and cats.
And train your dogs and cats as well. This has been Pets Allowed with The Lost Dogs Home, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by The Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.